Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 181. Tom, top of the day to you.
Hello.
We were saying we feel a little bit of rustiness.
Yeah.
Even though we had an episode last week, it just feels like we haven't done it for ages.
Peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
That Trans-Tasman episode was recorded trans-Tasmanly earlier than usual.
Yeah. We were a bit busy last week, so we tried to grab Nathaniel whilst we could and
that's it.
And have a chat with
him. We went and worked on location. We went and recorded a lot of podcasts somewhere else.
Oof. I feel somewhat daunted as to all the editing that will have to happen.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
It's all right. I went and I bought a cable organizing box.
Yeah.
That's my contribution for the after.
I think that's a really good idea because we lost one cable that we know of.
Mm.
It wasn't an important cable, but it was a cable. And I don't know how that happened because when we packed up, we all turned around, looked. There's no cables or anything.
It's a camouflage cable. Anyway, welcome to Cable Chat.
Yeah, this is all about cable management.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Our beautiful harbour and ugly docklands are filling up with ships of all shapes and sizes ahead of the Captain's Table Awards night this weekend. All the local party hire companies are busy getting their swashbuckling tables out of storage and ready for the seafaring night of nights. Captain Haddock will be hosting the night again after he was promised that the opera singer Bianca Castafiore will not be attending the awards this year. We asked the parrots nominated in the Best Bird on Shoulder category if they were looking forward to the event. They screeched, swore, and talked about wanting a cracker. Good luck to all. We're sure it's an honour just being nominated. Good news coming out of the public toilets. They have been cleaned. If you need to go, now is the time to pop in and empty your bladder. The council has not promised any further cleaning in the foreseeable future. If past experiences are anything to go by, they won't be this sparkling clean again for at least a couple of years. And you don't want to hold it in that long, do you? The Robert Redford fan club is on the lookout for a new chairperson after Trent Newcastle has stepped down. He said it was the right thing to do as his heart is no longer in it since discovering the ice blue penetrating eyes of Daniel Craig. In other news, the newly formed Daniel Craig fan club is looking for members. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Ooh-wee, have I got a fun quiz for you in that I like the person it's about.
Huzzah. I look forward to guessing about your interests.
It's yes or no. It's one or the other. You got 50-50 getting it right. I'm excited to hear about how angry you are in regards to a show that we both watch. And
I'll give everyone a teaser. Lynn said to me last night, she walked in, she's like, "Are you watching?" And I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "Why do you still keep watching that? You clearly don't like it." I'm like, "I don't, but I've committed 10 years at this point."
I also don't understand why. Well, I do, but it was really enjoyable last year.
Yeah, and they've just
and now it's fucking really unenjoyable.
Anyway, we'll get to that later. We'll get to it. Ooh, that's not the only thing I watched that made me cranky this week.
Oh, okay. Cranky Tom episode. Different vibe.
Yeah, but hey, if you want to talk some news, I got so much news and some of it makes me real happy.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, let's crack into it. Go first if
balance
you got heaps.
Balance it out. All right. Hey, do you remember the fantastic 2001 cheerleading epic Bring It On?
Of course I do.
Good. Go Wildcats.
Absolutely.
Have you seen any of the numerous sequels?
I saw the second one. I haven't seen.
It's about as far as I think you need
you
to
should
go.
Too. Okay.
They've announced that the Bring It On Halloween is in production or going to be in production soon. And it sounds like they're going to mix it up with like a bit of a Scream vibe or cheerleaders getting hunted.
Do we know?
It's a bit dark for Bring It On.
But as soon as you said Scream, I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting that. I understand the context. But with Scream coming back, they're grabbing a whole heap of the original cast. Is Bring It On Halloween special bringing the original cast or is it like a whole heap of new people? Because those cheerleaders have to be of cheerleading high school.
From the look of the people involved and stuff, I think it's just who was available.
Okay.
I don't think Elijah Dushku or Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Or
is it Kerry Washington? No.
It's Gabrielle Union.
It is Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union. It's, and the guy who I
was in Things.
Only ever remember him mainly from that and a few other of those sort of movie genres at that time.
Mm.
Where will it go? Will it go to the movies?
I don't think so. I didn't write down enough details. I literally wrote down Bring It On, Halloween, a Ween, a Ween Town. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I've got a kind of vague story as well about our favourite, Gillian Anderson, joining the second season of the show The Great, which is about Catherine the Great. It's on Hulu. I didn't know this show even existed. And then when I kept reading on, I was like, why don't I know this show exists? Because this sounds exactly like something I would like. It's a comedy. It's a historical comedy. It's got Ellie Fanning, who plays Catherine the Great, and Nicholas Holt. Like, he's great in everything.
I have seen some posters and stuff for it.
Maybe I should get my act together.
Get your act together. Get on board. Have a look.
She's going to be playing Catherine the Great's mother, who is Joanna, and will be a glamorous German socialite who's known as the maestro of marriage as she tries to marry people.
Mm.
To other people, mainly her daughters, though.
Well done, Gillian.
I reckon I can see her in that, and as long as I give her a crazy wig, it'd be great.
Mm.
She'll be wonderful.
Mm.
And that's all the news I have of that.
Oh, fair enough. Likewise, if we're doing rapid fire one.
Yes.
Do you remember the Nickelodeon game show from very early on in Nickelodeon times, Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah. That was a great show.
Basically Indiana Jones?
Yes. It was every kid's dream watching it to be on that show.
Yes, and Olmec, the talking statue voiced by D. Bradley Baker. Great voiceover
artist.
Often voices like the Hulk. If it's not Fred Tedeschiori, I know.
There are names.
But he does good big booby stuff. So they are rebooting that.
Great idea.
On CW, who does Arrow, Flash,
yep.
Supergirl, all of that sort of stuff. They're rebooting it to star adults. Adults will compete.
So kind of like your Floor is Lava kind of vibe.
Yes, big time. It's going to be outdoors.
Yep. Oh, okay. So you got a bit of the Wipeout action going.
Correct.
Oh, I like this.
Yes. So they're aging it up. They're going to make it so the stuff is more intense that you've got to go through and things. There's still only one team will make it through all the obstacles outside in order to go into the temple and compete in the final round for the actual temple prize.
This is a good idea because you're getting the people who are now adults who watched it of the time.
Look, I went at New York Comic Con. I went to the Legends of the Hidden Temple reunion panel.
Oh, right.
And it was just, the former host and the voice of Olmec and stuff.
Just telling stories.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Good fun. Yeah. But you know what? This has got a lot of legs to it because then they can have Junior and bring it back to the way it was, get a whole heap of a new generation heavily into it, and this show can go, on and off for years.
I think
idea.
I think you nailed it best with the Floor is Lava. That surprised everybody with how popular that was.
I was happy to sit there and watch episode after episode.
Yep. There hasn't been a second season yet because of COVID and things like that. And it's clearly
It
will happen. Yeah. It's clearly a very expensive production.
I just love that everybody who's involved in that show has to pretend that their friend has died drowning in lava, never to be seen again. And there's like this, no! And then they're like, right, let's get into it. And they've forgotten about.
Yep.
I love it. I love that whole.
My friend just died. I've got to get across this table.
Yeah, just love it. It's brilliant. It's so meta without, amazing.
Yep.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, this is going to upset you big time.
Oh.
But because I know you were a big Birds of a Feather fan back in the day, that sitcom from late 80s, early 90s from the UK. About the three women. Yeah. So the two women, they were sisters and their husbands had done something and they were in jail. So the women were running the house, running the household, running the family.
Right.
And they had a neighbour who was, she was quite posh, but also she's a bit naughty, a bit risque. Yeah.
Beryl.
anyway, so that show went for years and years. And then I think it went for years.
It went for UK years. So there was probably 18 episodes.
Probably. Or and the ABC probably just replayed them over and over and over again. It was on television a lot here. Anyway, in 2014, it came back to ITV, ran for three seasons, and then that was it until Christmas, and they had a reunion.
Mm.
But one of the sisters, Sharon, who arguably was the main character. Yeah. I say arguably because I'm sure the other two would have something to say about that, but I think she was the main character. She said, I don't want to be in it.
Right.
And then they were asked, well, is there going to be another season? And they said no, because she doesn't want to be in it. And you can't have Birds of a Feather without Sharon.
Can I ask, did they back up a money truck?
I don't think they have.
Yeah, that's how you get around it. So is there more coming or is
No, it's dead in the water as of now.
Mm.
So I'm really sorry, Birds of a Feather fans, but don't hold your breath until Sharon gets her money.
You just spoke fucking Swahili at me, all of that story. I don't know that show.
There's a brilliant French and Saunders
skit. Are people chomping for that show?
I doubt it. No, but I'm sure that our
audience. Is this like when I made a note that All Creatures Great and Small was getting rebooted?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
And we collectively agreed we didn't need to cover that.
But is that kind of thing where you're like, remember that show that was always on television when you were growing up and your parents always watched it?
Mm.
They want to do it. Fans are still around. They want to reboot. That's what it is.
All right. Birds of a Feather fan.
Move on.
Bloody organize yourselves. Have a word to the woman that played Sharon.
Change.org.
Get it back.
Yeah.
Call yourself the Flappers. There you go. Bloody one if on the I, hand, one, two in the bush.
Two in the bush. If I recall correctly, for a show that was a sitcom, it had a really depressing theme song. But just remember a sad song. Just imagine a sad song and that was its theme. Crying because it's so sad.
Answering writers' pup patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One that I know you have been interested in is this reboot or not even a reboot, but the new version of The Wonder Years narrated by Don Cheadle and executive produced and whatnot.
Yep.
So that has been picked up for series by ABC.
Cool.
Which is very cool. And I didn't know this, but Dulé Hill is going to be playing the dad.
What's he been in?
So I know him best as Gus from Psych, but he was also on The West Wing. He was the president's aide.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so he's having a real big week because not only is his new show being picked up and, like, that show is going to get a massive push.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts with Daniel Stern, who could probably do with a bit of work, but I'm always pleased to see him, so I'm sorry he's not going to be narrating this one.
Yeah, I think everybody initially assumed he was going to until we sort of got more of an understanding of the storyline.
Yes.
And the family and where it's set and that kind of thing.
So I say Dulé Hill is having a big old week because not only has he had this announced, but they've also announced that a third Psych movie is coming. So we've had Psych the movie, then Psych Lassie Come Home. The third one is called Psych 3. This is Gus.
Okay.
But This is Gus is a great pun.
Do you reckon that what they do is because the second movie, that sequel, sounds amazing, but do you reckon what they do is they go, right, let's sit down and think of the funniest title for a movie and then let's work a story around it?
That's how all their episodes are titled. They've all got really catchy, good, solid, punny titles and stuff like that. There's an episode called The Spelling Bee and no word is spelled correctly. That's great. I imagine this one is probably going to be to do with the fact that Gus is now married and it's funny because his real life wife plays his new wife in movies and stuff.
That's fun.
And that should come out hopefully late this year for Christmas. That's normally what they aim for with these Psych movies. And that'll go straight to Hulu, which is a shame, make it difficult for us to get it.
Yeah, I still don't understand why Hulu is not a thing here, seeing it's attached to Disney and we've got Disney, but we don't have Hulu. It's frustrating.
Because we're not paying extra. You got to pay extra for Hulu.
But given the option, wouldn't people say yes?
I would happily. There's a bunch of stuff on Hulu I'd like to watch.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Exactly. Right, so we know Judge Judy was coming to an end.
Yes.
After, 25 years, something
executed.
Like that? No, it's not that bad.
Okay.
wasn't she making like 40-something million dollars a season? Like just a ridiculous amount of money.
A lot of money.
She was the highest paid TV personality. And they finished filming the last episode a couple of weeks ago. And no rest for the, I was going to say wicked, no rest for the judgy, because she's going to jump over to, you know.
Celebrity yes. Apprentice.
No, no, she's got Judy Justice. It's going to be on Amazon's IMDb TV. You know, there's that thing. I'm a bit confused of what it is.
IMDb TV.
Yeah. IMDb TV.
Yeah.
Which Amazon has a large part of.
The only thing
there's
I've
another
ever
show
seen,
I've heard about that.
The only thing I've ever seen from them is that they hire a big old boat at Comic-Con
right.
and have Kevin Smith do interviews out the back.
Well, maybe he'll be interviewing Judge Judy.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So what this show is, judging by the synopsis and what she's talked about, is the same show as Judge Judy.
Well,
but it's called Judy Justice.
No one can really trademark the judicial system. You can't, you know.
And she also said, look, I do what I do. Within the confines of me being able to do what I do, we can only change so much. She said, I'm not becoming a ballet dancer.
Has she ever been on Strictly?
She looks like the kind of person that would. She's quite fit, isn't she?
Yeah.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I think we've talked about this before. I can't remember, but Attack the Block 2. Have we ever discussed this on air? I don't know. There's been chatter over the last year that John Boyega and Joe Cornish, the director and writer, had been meeting up and having a bit of a chat about things.
Yeah.
This morning they have announced officially through Studio Canal that Attack the Block 2 is a go, which is awesome. It's nice to see Boyega. That was his first film role.
After, before?
Years before.
Right.
This is it. He was maybe 16 or something like that.
Okay.
He was still very young and plays Moses, teenager that fights back against the aliens invading in the hood. End of the first film sees him heroic but still being taken away by the police because that's what happens to black men in London, it would appear. No idea where this film will pick up, whether the aliens are coming back more pissed off or what, or whether it's werewolves.
But also at the same time, if aliens do come down, he's been hanging out in a galaxy with a whole heap of different aliens for a while.
He's got some good insights.
Yeah, so he knows. And unlike other stormtroopers, his aim's pretty good. Yeah,
fuck your teeth, bruv. He's just ready to go, kick it off. Oh, I'm really excited for this. I love Attack the Block.
So they just announced that it's happening or, is it in production or we don't know yet?
Today,
it's too early,
today
right?
Today was the announcement that it's happening.
Yeah, okay, so it's not going to happen for a bit then.
Yep. Going to be a little while.
All right. Season 2 of The Great North, I don't think it's even premiered yet.
Season 1 only wrapped a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but it said it's coming out fall 2021, so they're...
That's spring.
Yes. Wait.
That's our spring.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, okay, yes, that's it. I got mixed up, thought it was autumn everywhere in the world. But Fox has renewed it for a third season. And they're loving their animation at the moment because not only did it renew, of course, The Simpsons, but Bob's Burgers, Duncanville, Family Guy, and Housebroken, which I don't know anything about.
I think they're the only real – they're not producing too much live action at the moment because Last Man Standing and a lot of their bigger trash shows have wrapped up.
Mm.
That Fox animation block on a Sunday night is a big, big advertising platform for them.
Sure.
They make a lot of money there.
Yeah. I also think you can get those actors to record their parts at home.
Yeah, for sure.
And animators can do their thing potentially at home as well. So these are shows that have been able to continue production.
And I imagine some of them, well, Bob's Burgers is way over, but some of them would be inching closer towards syndication levels, get those 100 episodes in and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Simpsons would be close as well.
they'd be darting around there. Look, if we're talking about season 2 stuff, did you watch The Righteous Gemstones? Do you remember that?
I remember it, but I didn't watch it.
So I didn't see it through to the end, which I still kick myself over, and I intend to go back. I don't know why I thought it was a one and done, but they're coming back for season 2. They've added Eric Roberts, brother of Julia Roberts.
Yes, father of Emma?
Yes.
Yeah.
He will be playing someone that John Goodman used to be tight with.
Okay.
Eric Andre. The pastor of a mega church. Yeah, so he's the hype man doing the big sermons.
He's
out
wearing
there.
Turtlenecks, right?
Oh, I really hope so. Yeah. I hope he's like touching people to expel spirits from their body, that sort of level. Mm-hmm. And Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, who.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A little more cagey with who his role is, but maybe he's a reporter looking into things.
There's a lot of people in this.
These are some big names that are good gets.
Don't you reckon Eric Roberts is the kind of person who's been in
so many things.
But you're like, we need something, you know, like we need a bit of stability. We need to make sure that this show is going to last a couple more seasons. Should we get Eric?
Yeah, he's a reliable anchor. Yeah.
All right, so now I'm going to have to watch the first season.
Yeah, I think it's only 8, maybe 10 episodes, and it's the most mellow Danny McBride is, which is weird considering it's his show.
My last story, I know you've still got a few, but did you see that Amazon is really going hard to acquire MGM?
I did see something with that.
$9 billion.
Not bad.
Is the amount that they're sort of talking about. Like, there's been rumors about this on and off the past, well, I don't know, it feels like ages, but past few years maybe. But this one seems pretty serious. Amazon has more than 200 million Prime members worldwide, and they said that 175 million of those have streamed some sort of Prime Video in the last year. So that's a big audience. And, of course, MGM's got thousands of movies and TV shows. You've got things like James Bond, obviously, The Hobbit stuff, Rocky, RoboCop. We're also looking at TV shows like Teen Wolf, The Voice, Survivor, Shark Tank, all the Real Housewives and The Hill. So the massive, huge back catalogue of stuff there's something for everyone.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see a real consolidation of a lot of the streaming things over the next couple of years. AT&T have announced that they're looking to not exactly sell off. So they bought Warner Media or Time Warner for $83 billion or something.
Ouch.
Maybe 3 years ago, and they clearly got a bit of buyer's remorse because they're trying to install 5G towers everywhere in the States. And they're a telecommunications company primarily. So they announced that they are splitting off Warner Media, which is HBO Max. It's a big deal.
It's quite a lot of, like,
they're merging that with Discovery, which is HDTV, HGTV, you know, Home Garden, Food Network, a lot of real quality programming channels and this sort of stuff. Once again, to try and add to the HBO Max offering, because it's going to end up being HBO Max, Amazon, and Disney Plus and Netflix.
Yep.
You know, they keep tightening up towards that. Yeah. Be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I think that's a pretty cool get. MGM haven't exactly lit the box office on fire in many years, apart from Bond.
Yeah, Bond's it for them.
Keeps the lights on.
Yeah, pretty much. And without them being able to release I can't even remember what the last movie's called.
No Time to Die.
That's right. They wanted to release it last year, unable to.
Been hemorrhaging money.
And Vegas not being a place where people go to much during a pandemic. So they couldn't get the rooms booked.
Yep. So it's got to sell some assets, make some cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I've got a few quick ones here that I'll get through because there's so much news. So What If, which is the Marvel animated series coming to Disney, we haven't known exactly when. They've confirmed that will be premiering in August.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say a brief spoiler warning.
Okay.
Because we've had a few potential episode themes leak via Lego. There's a Lego collectible minifigures series coming later in the year based upon the Disney Plus shows. So we'll be getting White Vision, Wanda,
cool.
New Captain America, this sort of stuff, Loki, and a few variations on Loki that I won't spoil.
Okay.
But they also listed a few of the characters that will be appearing in the What If series. And one of them, or a few of them we know about, so there's a zombie Captain America. There is T'Challa, Black Panther, but what if he was the one taken by the guy and raised as Star-Lord?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But the ones we didn't know about, and I'm only going to say two of them, but one of them is the Steve Rogers
yep.
as Spider-Man.
Okay.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I mean, would it be skinny?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He didn't get the shot somehow, but gets bitten by a spider or something.
What if it's animated, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's voiced by all the people.
Yep.
And the other one that's very interesting is Gamora
mm-hmm.
as Thanos.
Ooh.
So that what if she actually killed him but took over his role in the universe?
That to me sounds like the best story so far.
That sounds great.
I mean, I do like zombies, but, you know, zombie Captain America would be pretty fun.
Oh, no. The zombie episode is going to be the best episode.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you now.
All right.
Because there's been Marvel zombie series and they're fantastic.
Okay.
There's a zombie virus that only affects the supers. And they pick the earth clean in a week.
Who was behind the writing of that?
Robert Kirkman.
That's right.
He knows.
Yeah, he's the zombie man.
They pick the earth clean within a week, and then they start traveling the universe, and then they work out how to get through realities,
mm-hmm.
and it just becomes a wave that goes across everywhere. Sticking with Lego and things that have me very excited. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, but Lego revealed overnight, and it's going on sale only like next week.
Ooh.
The next big building set, and it's a Spider-Man Daily Bugle, a four-story skyscraper coming with 25 characters.
Holy dooly.
That's a huge amount. So it's six villains, a whole bunch of different Spider-Man, but it's got Blade, Daredevil, Punisher, characters that have never been in Lego form before. I can't believe they're doing Punisher and putting in weapons with him.
Wait, are you getting, have you pre-recorded, yes. like pre-recorded, no. pre-ordered?
So it's a general release on 1st of June, 26th of May for Lego VIP.
Okay.
So I will be going to line up that day.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's 3,700 and something pieces, but when you work out what the price it is, it only works out to be something like 8 cents a piece, which is very, very cheap for Lego.
That's very reasonable. With over 3,000 pieces, how long do you reckon it would take to build?
It ends up being nearly 3 feet tall.
Mm.
So a while.
Yep.
But there's a lot of playability functions, and there is one level where the windows of the building and the girders are all bent and smashed out because the Green Goblin is flying into the building. Oh. It's going to be really good.
It sounds really involved.
It's going to be really, really good. And look, my last news story, and then I'll give you a trailer.
Yeah.
And it's not so much a news thing, but it's just I need some advice on a life decision.
Okay.
Nika, however you pronounce it, they're a fantastic toy company, and they make really solid action figures, replicas of stuff from the past. And they've announced that they're bringing out a life-size Chucky doll.
Are you asking me, should you get it?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Yes, you should.
Because I'll be getting it for the office.
Yeah. So it's only scary at night, right?
Yeah.
So as long as we don't stay too long after dark, we should be fine.
It's a good incentive to go home on time.
Exactly. I think you'd be mad not to.
Because they're doing that, and they're also going to do a Bride of Chucky.
Because they're pretty big. Bride of Chucky. That sounds good.
Yeah. And they come with various hands, including hands that can hold each other's hand.
Oh, romantic and frightening.
Yeah, it'd be really unsettling. And it's proper scarred up Chucky.
Do you reckon there's going to be a little voice activator button?
No, I hope not. Only if it can be remote controlled, because yes. I don't want to touch it. But if I can sit across the room and fuck someone else's day up mm-hmm. by making mm-hmm. it suddenly talk.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Just have like, you know, some person who's never been in there before, they're busy looking at like the Lego or something, and suddenly there's a voice.
If it goes,
they turn around.
Spooky, spooky.
Oh, so good.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. It might be like a year until it's actually released, but...
But it's on your shopping list.
It's very tempted.
Yeah, it should be. It should be.
It might be a drunken Comic-Con weekend purchase.
Yeah.
So I mentioned there were two trailers, so we'll talk about the trailer in a second. But Army of the Dead finally mm-hmm. drops end of this week. I don't know if you saw, but YouTube had the first 15 minutes up. As long as you proved you're 18, you could watch it.
I didn't know, but I don't know if I want to watch it. I think I just want to watch it, you know?
I loved it.
Oh, you did the 15?
I did it, and it was great. I'm mm-hmm. so excited for this movie. It really does feel like a nice continuation of what he was doing with the Dawn of the Dead 15, whatever years ago it was.
Yeah.
The man knows how to do opening credits, and it sets the – like if this film continues with the tone of the opening – it's going to be good fun. So stay tuned. Next week I'll have my review of that.
There's a fair bit of hype about this one.
Everyone's pretty hype.
We haven't seen it. You've only seen 15 minutes. But are we Are we already hoping there's going to be a sequel?
The prequel has already been filmed and there's an anime or animated series spin-off that's already in production as well.
All right, that sounds good. That's good.
Been coming for a while. The prequel is about this safe-cracking dude
mm-hmm.
who actually, I think, directed it as well. Anyway, but the trailer, Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Now, this is one of your favorite movies, and I remember you saying it kind of snuck up on you
mm-hmm.
in that you enjoyed it the first time you watched it.
I had a real good look. I really enjoyed it the first time I watched it, but it's not a great movie. It's just a great, fun movie.
Yeah.
And so the first time I watched it, I walked out going, yeah, that was pretty good, but it has become one of my absolute guilty pleasures if I can put that on, and it's just got such a silly tone, and I enjoy that. And it's not comic book Venom, and that's fine. It's, you know, he's not interacting with Spider-Man and all this sort of stuff. That's fine. I love how silly they have made the character. This new trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage really leans into some of that silliness. I don't know if you caught the trailer.
I haven't seen it.
The first scene is Eddie sitting very hungover at the table in the morning, and the suit is making him breakfast, like rushing around, smashing eggs and all this sort of stuff. Just sets the tone really nicely.
Yeah.
But this film is going to be creepy AF.
In what way?
Well, Woody Harrelson is playing Carnage. And the best way I can describe Carnage, I won't even talk comic book wise and stuff, but basically the suit, the Venom suit, whoever it's on, it takes an imprint of them and passes on to the next, whatever. So when it started with Spider-Man, and then he threw it off and it went on to Eddie Brock and became Venom. The reason why Venom is so much stronger than Spider-Man is because it's doubled up.
Yeah, right.
So Carnage is the next one of that.
Leveled up.
Yes. And it was from a time when, in the comics, when Eddie, Venom, was in jail and shared a cell with a serial killer named Cletus Cassidy, who is an absolute fucking madman and very much based on Woody Harrelson's character in...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Natural Born Killers.
That's it. Yeah.
So to have Woody Harrelson now playing Carnage, basically continuing that role, is phenomenal. It's going to be so good. And Carnage is not as big as strong as Venom. The way that so Andy Serkis is directing it, and he's described it that Venom is your quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's your heavy puncher. Carnage is more like a trapeze artist on acid in that he's super unpredictable. And this is not a comic book thing, but in the film he can turn into mist. He's constantly got tendrils and tentacles coming off. He's insanity given form.
Mm.
So some of the shots in this trailer are just insane of how much this body is morphing and not human at all.
Oh. And obviously the trailer, they're showing some of the best bits from the film, but you can also assume that there's going to be even
back.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be good to hear you review.
I can't
it.
Wait to see what Carnage turns his hands into, because in the comics he's constantly shifting from axes to knives to swords, whatever. He just can't sit still.
Bit of Edward Scissorhand action?
Very much so. It's ADHD given horrific form. So and I'm not quite sure what's going on and whether it'll be the exact same for the film release, but the Venom voice has changed slightly. It's still Tom Hardy doing a silly voice, but it's not quite the same as it was in the first one.
Is it sort of more sort of toned back a bit?
It sounds like it's got a bit more of a comedic bounce to it, which, again, I'm down with. Some people weren't wrapped with it. Some people were like, what's going on? They changed Tom Hardy's voice for Dark Knight Rises between the trailer and the movie coming out. They made him clearer, easier to understand. As unbelievable as that is.
Yeah, exactly.
They made that better.
There must have been, some screen audiences are like, I actually don't know what he said the whole time. Yeah.
We don't have too long to wait for this next Venom. And I'm really excited for it because it just deflates the seriousness of the superhero genre. And at the moment, that's TV's thing with The Boys and Invincible.
Of course. So are you going – will that end up being – no, I was going to say, will it end up being the first superhero movie you see back at the movies? But probably
that'll
be Black Widow, yeah.
Black Widow before that.
Which is really
soon. I broke my movie no-going streak. I've been to the movies.
Should we get into some watching suggestions
Let's
then?
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What'd you watch? What'd you watch? What'd you watch?
Mortal Kombat!
Oh, man. So this is the one that was filmed in South Australia.
Yep.
It's got Aussie Josh Lawson.
Yep, best part of the movie by a fucking mile.
Okay, I did hear he was very good, or is that just in relation to the rest of the film?
Bit of both. Mm-hmm. Bit of both. I'll say it up front. This movie is trash. It felt 90s, but I loved it.
What, 90s, but with better CGI?
Yeah. Yep. Flaming dragons, spinning hats, whatever the fuck Melina is, all this sort of stuff.
Did it make you want to go and play?
Very much so. Very, very much so. There were some good fatalities in there. The lines that you would hope be said are said. There is a insane deep cut shout out that I got that I was like, oh, nice. Of like, so there used to be all these in the arcade versions, like really complicated things that you had to do to unlock characters like Smoke or Reptile or
like insane button pressing.
Yep. So I think it was Reptile. And I'm going back. I can't remember all of it. But to unlock Reptile, you had to fight in the pit. I think it was against Goro, which is the four-armed freak. Mm-hmm. You couldn't block. And you had to do a certain number of uppercuts while there was a shadow over the moon.
So specific.
And there is a point in this film where one character delivers an uppercut while Goro walks past in the background while they're fighting in the pit. And no one says it. But my brain went, toasty, which is what you, this is what I mean. Like there were some really, really nice shout outs and tie backs to original stuff. Kano, who is Josh Lawson, gets to rip someone's heart out. Yeah, Kano wins. He is basically playing Mick Taylor from Crocodile Dundee.
Right.
Wrapped up with Eric Banner's chopper.
Yep.
And a fighter. He's not a fighter at all in real life.
He's done a very broad Australian accent.
It's so fuck you fucking dogs. Yeah. All of it the whole time. Ah, where do I get my arcana? I want to find out what my fucking superpower is. Ha, fireballs are lame. I can shoot a fucking laser at me eye. Like that's his vibe the whole way through. It's great.
So do you think that he saved the film from being
a little
stupid
bit of
watchable?
behind the special magic here. Yeah, he's actually friends with one of my friends. They went to school together and stuff. And during production, he wasn't sure what way the film was going to go. So he thought himself, I'm going to lean into this as hard as I can. I'm the only comedic actor here. They've obviously hired me to be the comedic relief. I'm going to go for it. And he really fucking goes for it. And you know, there's all these memes about he's injured his back carrying that film.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, man.
And he does.
Yeah, because he just injects charisma into every scene he's in. Everyone else is playing their characters very serious. And that's why I say it feels 90s, because it feels like that old school style of, you know, earnestness.
Yep.
And committal to the roles.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And there's some brilliant martial arts work. They teased us with the trailer that there was going to be a lot more Scorpion versus Sub-Zero, and the beginning scene of the film is awesome.
Is it the bit you see in the trailer? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a 16th century fight between the two of them.
Yep.
But anyone knows that anything about Scorpion knows that's not the end of Scorpion. You can't keep a good hell demon down like that. I know way too much about these games.
But, so there were 90s movies, or at least one 90s
movie.
Yeah,
there were
two.
There was Mortal Kombat in 95 and then Annihilation in 97.
So have you seen them recently? Because would you watch them? You can't.
I don't think so. I mean, Mortal Kombat Annihilation was filmed too dark. It was what, you know.
Yeah.
It's very 90s.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not quite as much fun as that Street Fighter movie.
Yeah.
Because that one has big name actors hamming it up.
It's almost like they did the Josh Lawson.
Yes.
But all of them.
Yes. I have no idea. Spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Mortal Kombat in this film.
What?
So the Mortal Kombat is the competition between Earthrealm and Otherrealm. There's also Netherrealm and this whole thing.
And Realm.
Yes, and this film is all about collecting the fighters and getting the team ready And there is still some, you know, plenty of individual combat and things like that. And some characters
So you still
die.
Get the action, yeah.
Yes. But the actual Mortal Kombat isn't going to happen until the next film. So they're very hopeful MCU style that they're going to get to.
All right.
The guy that plays Sub-Zero is signed for another 4 movies. And just not to get too... But he plays Bin Lang, which means that he's actually going to be Noob Saibot, which is another of the... So Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Original Reptile, all these characters were the same reskin. Like there was the one ninja outfit and they were different colors of that. So
that's right. That's
yellow,
right.
Green. Noob Saibot is the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the original Sub-Zero and someone else becomes Sub-Zero. In like Mortal Kombat 2, maybe Ultimate 3. I can't remember exactly when.
Cole Young
is bullshit.
That's what I heard. People are not on board with that.
Just, he should have been Striker.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just needed to
throw
that in there.
Lewis Tett, he does all right with what he's got, but it's a real throwaway audience surrogate character very difficult to connect to. Oh, what
you know the exact kind. Yeah, I know. Like I know the exact kind of character he is.
Just a painful Mary Sue.
Yeah,
and like he is involved with someone else, and I won't say how he's connected and stuff. And you can see how maybe 3 films later that could be important.
But that's a lot of watching Mortal Kombat movies that are just stupid.
There's so many characters people love that could have been. Anyway, it ends with a fantastic tease for a character for the next film, which is Johnny Cage, which should have been in this. Cole Young should have been Johnny Cage.
Yeah, okay.
I thought there was going to be a reveal later on that Cole Young was a pseudonym and his name is actually Johnny Cage. But
didn't happen.
The Miz from wrestling has already put his hand up saying, yeah, I need to be Johnny Cage. And Ed Boon, who's the creator of Mortal Kombat series, is like, yeah, he needs to be Johnny Cage.
Oh, okay. Well, that might hype people up if we get word that is a thing.
His whole character in wrestling. And he's been often made movies in real life. He is Johnny Cage in real life.
Yeah, okay.
Real arrogant fucker, funny, who can beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to punch someone's head right off.
It's meant to be then. it's going to happen.
So it's weird that I would watch a movie and be more excited about what the potential of the next one is. Normally I'm pissy that they didn't get to that.
But that feels like watching a TV series.
Correct. They've laid the groundwork. This has been a really solid pilot. I can see the potential for this series from now on.
Mm.
They don't need to be super big budget.
Because the games are always popular.
Oh, hell yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And they're so convoluted. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you've ever read any of up and stuff, but like Mortal Kombat, I want to say 9, might have been 10, might have been X. They rebooted the series. And by that, I mean they like went back to the events of the original Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 games.
Redid it?
And have played it out in a different timeline.
Oh, yeah, okay, get you.
So here's how things went this time.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's cool.
Now that there are a few games later from that, they've started plucking people from that original timeline and bringing them there.
Yep.
So like Kano. Why not? Kano, it doesn't exist anymore in the Mortal Kombat games because he teamed up with his younger self. The younger self got brutally murdered and it blinked the original timeline one out of existence.
100% he's coming back after the movie. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. There's stuff in this movie that rubbed me the wrong way. Like Cabal is in there who's awesome in the games and is kind of like a more heroic version of Kano. And that they used to be mercenaries together and he's in there and stuff, but he's just bad in this. And things. don't do that to my boy. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what comes into canon for movies and video game, like the game and the movies, or if they're kind of branching separately.
So much backstabbing to come.
I assume we're going to have a Mortal Kombat game before a sequel movie.
It's very strange that there's no Mortal Kombat game booked for this year, and the studio that makes it is, I think we talked about it, is rumored to be working on a Marvel one, which I'd wait for a Marvel.
Yeah, I think I'd
be happy with the Marvel one, and then I can get another Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, IP.
But yeah, Mortal Kombat, they've never raced one out every year. That's not their game. They like to put one out every couple of years, and then they add fighters and stuff like that.
Yeah, so they give longevity to the game.
And then they work in horror movie icons and stuff as well. So the one with Alien was so good.
Didn't they have The Terminator?
Yeah, Terminator, Predator, Freddy,
was
Jason.
RoboCop?
RoboCop's been in.
I don't know why I remember these. I haven't played the game, but I remember. I remember. Do you know why I think I remember? Because it sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
To have them.
It is good fun.
In there.
Alien rips itself out of another player.
Perfect. I'd pay the extra money for that. Beautiful.
Crawls out before it starts fighting. So good.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I've been watching the second season of Love, Death and Robots.
Oh, and which of the three is your favourite?
I'd have to say Pop Squad.
Oh, I thought I meant from Love, Death or Robots.
Oh, right,
but,
okay.
But Pop Squad, what's Pop Squad's
deal?
Well,
that one, it's a post-apocalyptic world. Kind of got your Westworld vibes to it a little bit, but everybody is immortal and they have to get booster shots to become immortal. And because everyone's immortal, there's no space for kids. So breeders, sure, if found, go to prison and have their children killed.
Oh, tisk tisk.
It's pretty full on. And watching it, I'm like, that's a voice of an actor that we all know. It's a voice of an actor we all know, but I was like, I'm not gonna check until it finishes. It was bloody Nolan North, who's the voice of everyone.
Everyone.
So, oh, some of the episodes, you know, it's like the first season, but some of the episodes, it's such an amazing world that they've built, mm-hmm, but they've only done like 16 minutes or something worth, and you're like, I want to know more about this world. Make a movie, make a series. I'm on board with this. But I think it's because they only give you 16 minutes of it that you want more.
Sure. So they're all little bite-sized episodes like that?
All episodes are completely different animations. There are some really, really clever stories and world building in there. And some of the animation, like there's one that kind of sort of had a bit of a Pixar feel sort of to it, mm-hmm, where the equivalent of their, what's the automated vacuum cleaner called? The
Roomba.
Roomba. Yeah, kind of like that, but bigger. And Roomba gets angry.
Mm.
And Roomba starts trying to kill homeowner.
Roomba smash.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got that kind of animation to it. Others like Pop Squad and Snow in the Desert's another good episode as well. They have kind of like those really high realistic video game cinematic, mm-hmm, scenes, cut scenes, that's the look they're going for. There's ones like The Tall Grass, which is set in, well, it's like on a steam train kind of thing. So it's got like this older kind of cartoon animation style. They're really, really good. And I'd completely forgotten that series was a thing.
Oh, so it was a sneak attack.
Yeah, so when I saw that the second season had been released, I was like, oh, okay.
I believe our boy Nathaniel has been quite excited for some time.
I had a bit of a chat with him.
Yeah.
And he agrees with the episode Pop Squad. We were having a good chat about that. But, yeah, he absolutely loved it. And like I said, those 16, 15-minute episodes, total bite-size, and you walk away and like I'm still thinking about those worlds.
Sure, it stuck with you?
Yeah.
Nice.
There was one about a whale that Nathaniel was pretty keen on, and that kind of had a I don't know the animation style, but it was more it was less realistic, more stylized, about superhumans.
Cool.
And what people who aren't superhumans can do if need be.
Sure.
Yeah, really good. I reckon you should watch some of
them. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Give
I'll
it a
dip
go.
My toe in.
Bite-size, you can cope.
Bite-size. Do I need to start at the beginning of season one?
Nah, they're all different stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's an anthology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick up wherever you want.
All right. Hey, earlier I mentioned that I was going to talk about something I was made to watch that I did not enjoy, and now it's that time. I was forced to sit while people in my house watched The Circle season two.
I never got into it, and by never got into it, I never watched it. It never captured my interest.
So not the sort of thing I'd want to watch.
Can you give us a synopsis again? I've forgotten what it's about. It's like a reality show
or
something.
Yeah, there's an apartment block with like eight rooms or something like that, and contestants are in each room. They can only interact through screens with one another.
Right.
They don't ever see each other live.
Yep.
And you can choose to play as yourself or to catfish as someone else.
The show Catfish already exists.
I know. So, you know, there was a girl named Chloe, and she used to be on Essex or something.
Oh, so they're famous people?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they might claim to be.
Oh, and I see what you mean.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
So I'd watch like an episode. And I was like, this is trash, but fine. If you guys want to watch it,
that's sometimes
fine.
A trash show is a good show
and
to get
someone
into.
Someone got booted out. Right. The next person announced coming in. They're like, stay tuned next episode because Lance Bass is arriving. And I was like, all right.
Yep.
I would enjoy seeing Lance Bass in this situation. Let's watch. And then they made me watch another 40 minutes only to learn there was a 42-year-old woman pretending to be Lance Bass.
Oh, that's... Oh.
And you nearly flipped over a fucking table. I was like, I'm done with this. This is shit. This is bullshit. I'm not playing the game. Don't trick me.
Also, what does Lance Bass have to say about that?
Well, it turns out she's his personal assistant or something and has been for 15 years. So anyone who's catfishing as someone else, the person they're playing
they've
as,
got,
they know.
Okay.
So there's one woman who's playing as her husband. There's another guy who's playing as a girl he knows.
Okay.
And there's an old guy playing as a 20-year-old man that he knows.
I'm sure people love this show. I've heard a lot of hype about it, but everything that you're saying to me just doesn't seem like my show.
I don't have Twitter, and I think that's why I don't enjoy this show, because Lynn says that this show is just Twitter in real life.
Oh, okay.
It's people interpreting what they read and then chiming back in on a conversation.
That's not a bad way of looking at something.
But just, oh man, I fucking hated this show. And I'm sorry for all the swearing today, everybody, but I need you to understand how mad I got, especially because, and this is, we're going to segue nicely into the other thing that I want to talk about.
Yes, go on.
Is last night was the finale of Lego Masters, and we were one episode behind. And
yeah, I'm a couple behind, but I know who won.
I really wanted to watch the episode, so I was caught up and I didn't miss out, and we had to fucking keep watching the circle.
Oh, no. Why?
Because
no.
They wanted to get through the rest of the circle. And I'm being respectful and watching what the house wants to watch.
Wait, did you watch Lego Masters?
Yes.
Without watching the second to last episode?
So it was the third to last episode that we missed when we were away last week.
Oh, okay.
We didn't end up catching up with that one. So we caught the other ones and it's all good. But it was just, I can't believe that I had to watch The Circle and not Lego Masters. Lego Masters was fantastic. I was happy with the result. I'm happy to put a pin in it and discuss next week when you've caught up.
Yeah, I'll be caught up by then. And
the
team
won.
It.
That's all I'm going to say.
It's
clear who's going to win.
It's not a surprise. Yeah. Look, I want to talk about, we spoke about The Great North coming, getting a third season before a second season is even screened. I'm about, how many episodes in? Not many, but it's got me.
You hooked?
Yeah, it's funny. You know all the voices, like everybody on that you already know.
The youngest son on that is voiced by the HR lady from Corporate, that show I love.
Oh, right, okay. Alanis Morissette's in it. She's kind of like Dogma, her role in Dogma, except she talks and she's not pretend to be anything else. And you know she's been given the scripts and she's recorded them all in a day. But she's having fun.
She's having fun.
So good. Oh, I like it. I'm really happy that I've only just jumped on and, you know, for the next year or something, I'm guaranteed new episodes.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good feeling.
Going to keep trickling through.
Yeah. I don't think I can have a lot of animated shows on my, you know, rotation. But this is the kind of one where you're like, you know those days where you're like, I don't want to watch anything deep or heavy. And Kim's Convenience, I've spoken about before, but that's been the show that I've just been watching just to like, and now The Great North is. I think I'm going to save up the episodes though.
Yeah, sure.
Because
there's not that many.
There's not that many.
There's only 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to hang off a few weeks so I can sort of bunch them up. I've been doing that with Mighty Ducks as well.
Nice.
Also, I get too busy and I run out of time to watch
this. This is too many things to be watching.
Have you watched anything else before we really talk about something you want to get angry about?
No, let's just do it. Let's rip the fucking band-aid.
Okay, so last week I said to you, I watched the Fear the Walking Dead.
And because we were away at work, I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself and not watch the episode this week.
Yep.
And I'll watch two back to back next week.
And I said to you something like, it's a lot. I don't want to give you anything.
You were like, I think the exact phrase were, I don't think you're going to enjoy that one. It was something along that line. And it was as if you were a fucking psychic.
Yep.
Because I have not enjoyed Fear the Walking Dead in quite some time. I'm only watching it because we talk about it on this show. Lynn said to me, why do you continue watching it? And I said, because I looked down on people who bailed out before Lost ended.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that did that in Walking Dead. And by me watching it and going through the pain, you all get the enjoyment of hearing my displeasure.
And Fear the Walking Dead is one of those shows where it really dips.
Oh, when it
up
dips,
and down,
yeah.
up and down, up
when
and down.
When it's great, it's great. And when it's down, it's the fucking worst. And all this season has sucked. Sucked.
There's been bits where I've thought about it weeks later and I've gone, what was the point of that?
Why? So let's just summarize it briefly. Last week's episode was a bullshit. It was all a dream and it ended on
Mother's Day
on
too.
On Mother's Day, horrific miscarriage.
Yep. Horrible. On Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day.
I bet they thought they were being edgy.
Oh, edgy and so deep edgy. And oh, everyone thinks we're going to swerve left, but we're going to swerve right. And nah, you just tripped over your own shoelaces.
And then this episode was June wandering around. For some reason, met John Dory's father, who John Dory hadn't seen for years, but was hanging around the exact same area that John Dory had been hanging out in. How'd those two not meet each other
and that's,
years ago?
That's, what's his name, Lumby from, Lundy from Dexter. It was Keith Carradine.
So he'll be hanging around.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, so he'll be there.
Hopefully they use him just as much as they do the rabbi.
Oh, yeah, the rabbi. Oh.
Yep.
Every time I see him on screen, I go, oh, forgot about you.
Loves a paycheck, that man.
Why not?
I've seen him in the background of a lot of different shows.
Why not? If that's how you get money,
I'm edging very close to being done with this shit.
I think the fact that you spent a while talking about Mortal Kombat that you knew was a dumb movie, but you enjoyed it, and then Fear the Walking Dead two episodes, and you're like, that was a chore.
It was such a chore, and like I think within 30 seconds of that dream episode, I was like, oh, it's a dream.
Yep.
And in real life, that's about as long as I will let someone tell me what their dream was last night before I cut them off and go, I don't care. No. I hate hearing dream stories. And the women I live with know this because I've told
them. Oh, they don't do it?
Okay. I've shut it down so many times. I don't care about the dream. Don't make me invest in a story that goes nowhere.
The only reason you should be telling somebody else a dream story is I could be like, Tom, I dreamt that we were on a cruise last night and there was a giant shark. It was hilarious. That's all.
That's a great dream summary.
Because
the
if
other
you
dream
get
summary,
any further,
it veers. And there's the other dream summary is, I had a sexy dream about you. Those are the two dreams I want to hear about. Yeah. Everything yeah. else can do one. And I'm getting really like, how is this show still in the air? How is this? And like,
there has to be some sort of Robert Kirkman deal, which I don't get because he's over at Amazon now.
He has nothing to do with this show. Nothing. He didn't write comics for this.
Do you think
these aren't characters he created?
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that they
ruined Dwight?
Like, I was just about to say, even the Dwight bit, I don't care. She's not that into him.
I felt like they were finally about to send Dwight back to the big show for the last season. And if there's talk of the Negan spinoff, doesn't it make a lot of sense that Dwight would be
because what's he doing on Fear?
Nothing. Fucking nothing.
He was following June around for reasons.
My head is actually in my hands. That's very unprofessional podcasting. But like,
would you like me to get us out of this?
Yes, please.
And get into
Let's
a quiz.
On. How many episodes are there left of this season?
I don't know. I'm not even counting.
There can't be many left. Just put this shit down. It's weird that I'm more excited for At World's End to come back or World Beyond
World
or whatever.
Beyond.
That
because you know there's an end.
One more season of that and then.
So they're going to finish that story
and
it's going to lead into the
movie. It's going to dovetail nicely into the end of Walking Dead and the movie.
Yep.
Great.
It's got a direction. Fear has got no direction.
None. I don't give a shit about Morgan trying to build a new community. We need to get out of this because I'm just going to get
mad. All right,
madder.
Here we go. It's quiz time.
Yay!
I did say it was about somebody that I can't remember if I said that you love them, but I definitely
do. You said somebody you love.
Okay, great. Because I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I know that you are aware of the fact that Gillian Anderson's pretty great.
Yes, she is good.
Okay. So you know how she was, I get it around the wrong way. She was either born in America, went as a kid and lived in England, so she can do both accents, yes. or the other way around. I yes. can't remember. So she does the accent, the different accent in different movies.
Yes.
And TV shows. It's exactly the same idea as the Kate Winslet one. You
yes.
just have to tell me what accent she does in these
All
following
right.
questions. X-Files.
American.
Of course. Easy
of
one.
Of course. Okay.
The Fall with the guy from 50 Shades of Grey. She was the detective person chasing him because he was a serial killer.
Jamie Dornan.
Yeah.
Then I'll say English.
Correct. She was very posh. The Simpsons.
English.
American because she was playing Dana.
Ah, of course.
Scully in the Springfield Files episode.
Right.
Mm. What about the Sex Education from Netflix? Couple of seasons in now.
American.
Actually, you know what? It's
Canadian?
English.
Oh, it's English? All right.
Yeah. It's a really weird show. I've
yeah,
spoken
to
you about it before.
Because in my head, I thought you said Bad Education, that TV show with
yeah.
Jack Whitehall.
Wasn't Bad Education. Yeah, that's right. Wasn't Bad Education also the movie with Cameron Diaz? Or was that Bad Teacher?
I think that's Bad Teacher.
Bad Teacher, maybe.
Because there is a Bad Education spin-off movie as well.
Okay, of course there is.
But I'm sure there's a movie called Bad Education because that's
it's
low-hanging fruit of a title.
It really, really is. but Sex Education is a weird show because it's set in an English school, but it all looks like an American high school.
Right.
And they all dress like it's probably the early 90s, but it's set now.
Okay.
Very confusing. She was in the movie The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Oh.
With Kate McKinnon and Mila Kunis. What right. accent?
English?
Yeah, English.
Okay.
Do you know how I know that? I watched the trailer.
I was going to say, I didn't watch that. I thought you were talking about the movie with Melissa McCarthy. Is that movie?
Yeah, she's not in that.
What's that
it's
movie
a different
called?
Movie
Is that movie called Fat Spy Fall Down? That's Oh, man, I really want a Kevin James movie where he's a spy just called Fat Spy Fall Down. Because there's Skyfall and there's a couple of Bond movies all about
I
falling.
I can't remember the Melissa McCarthy movie. I mean, I remember it happened, but I don't remember.
Is it My Spy? No, that's the one with Batista.
Wasn't she in a movie with Sandra Bullock as a spy? Is it that one? Or am I thinking about two separate movies and they were never in a movie together? But I don't know. Whilst we not look at IMDb, I need to tell you.
Yes.
That Gillian Anderson was in that Bond one that Rowan Atkinson did. Johnny
English.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I can't remember what her accent was.
It was Ben Miller.
It's probably English.
Mm, very English films.
Very, very English. She was in Hannibal as well, the show, the series.
Sure. She's in
The Crown, Margaret Thatcher.
American Gods.
Yes, she was not entertainment. What was it called?
Media.
But only for the first season. And then she went. Look, meanwhile, rewatched the second season of The Mandalorian and suddenly a whole heap of people, by a whole heap, I can only remember two right now, a whole heap of people that I remember their characters in the show, but I've since seen them in TV shows, and one of them's in American Gods. The other is Mr. Kim in Kim's Convenience. He's
sure.
like one of
yeah,
the rebels.
Yeah,
yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot. I remember the scene that he was in, but I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh, on that note, well done with your Gillian Anderson-ness.
Thanks. I don't know how many I got. Not all of them. Probably like three.
Do half. We ever count? Never.
Just
the only time we count is during the like the big Christmas or end of year quiz.
Yes.
Because the people we invite are a little bit competitive and need to know.
This is true.
Need to know when you beat them. On that note, thank you very much.
One little Julian Anderson roll.